Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already.
When William Penn founded Pennsylvania in 1681, he dared to do something few thought possible. While most colonies relied on armies, forts, and fear to survive, Penn, guided by his Quaker faith, believed God's way of peace would prevail in this land. Instead of fighting, he made treaties with Native Americans and paid them fairly for the land. And for more than 70 years, Pennsylvania enjoyed peace with the tribes around them, something unheard of in other colonies in America. Why? It was because one man had the faith to believe that God's ways are better than man's ways. William Penn found that faith is not just a belief or a thought, an idea that there is a God, but it's daring to live differently because you trust Him to keep His word and to be faithful to do what He has promised. My friend, it's so good to have you here for Missionary Echoes today. We're going to start off today's broadcast with a song from the Cassidy family called How Can I Fear?
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eye cannot see. For the Savior is near, my Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near, He ever ever one. watches over me. Worries all cease, he gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Worries all cease, for he gives me peace.
That was Nicole Cassidy in the song, How Can I Fear? If you know the Cassidy family, you know that Nicole has personally gone through some very challenging times, including a battle with cancer. We thank the Lord that He is faithful and able to walk with us through the most challenging times in our lives. This morning, we're going to share a message from Pastor Going from the book of Hebrews on faith. I trust that you will be blessed as he brings God's word to us today. Here is Pastor Going.
I want to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, and then we're also going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." I want to talk to you for a little while this evening on a theme, a subject that is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. In fact, it's a word that we hear, that we use often, and yet it's one that I think is greatly misunderstood within the church at large, and that is the word faith. We talk about the Christian faith as in a set of doctrinal beliefs. We talk about having faith. Sometimes we talk about a weak faith or a strong faith. But what is faith? Whatever it is, we know that it's of absolute importance that we have it, because verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if we want to please God, we're never going to need to have this faith. But again, what is faith? Well, sometimes in order for us to better understand what something is, we need to understand what it isn't. And when it comes to the subject of faith, a lot of misunderstanding is wrapped around what real faith is. There are many people who think of faith as a really strong wish. And if I wish hard enough and long enough, if I believe enough, if I'm good enough, then I can convince God to answer my prayer and give me what I want, and I'll have a personal breakthrough, and God will do for me whatever I want Him to do. And then there are people who, when they think of faith, they think of it as merely agreeing with a certain set of teachings. They might say, "I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I'm a person of faith." But simply believing in God isn't faith in and of itself. The fact is, you could have really good theology. You could believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You could believe that Jesus came to earth, that He lived a sinless life, that He died on a cross, that He rose from the grave 3 days later. You could believe He ascended to heaven. You could believe all the right things about Jesus and still not have faith, because believing the right thing isn't faith in and of itself. As a matter of fact, did you know the devil is a pretty good theologian? As a matter of fact, He has better theology than the average Christian, probably. James said, the devils, the demons of hell, believe and tremble. But the devil and the demons are certainly not people of faith. Then there are people who simply have faith in faith. And to them, it doesn't really matter what you believe so long as you really believe it. And if you believe it and you really believe it, that makes it true for you. You believe your truth. I believe my truth, and you live your truth, and I'll live mine, and you believe it, and I'll believe it, and then it's true, you're a person of faith. Anybody follow that? But none of those things even begin to touch on what is real biblical faith. What is faith? Well, we come to Hebrews chapter 11. What is Hebrews chapter 11 known for? It's the faith chapter. And here in Hebrews 11, the writer is interested in helping us understand the answer to that question, what is faith? And he wants us to see some examples, some living examples of people in flesh and blood who had real faith. And so there's this hall of fame, these men, these women who lived by faith. And the message of Hebrews 11, if you boil it down to the basics, is that these men, these women showed us what the life of faith looks like in shoe leather. And as we look in the first section of Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 1, I want to give you a little outline of this chapter. Verse number 1, the writer gives us what I believe is a description of faith. And then in verse number 6, he gives us a definition of faith. And then in the remainder of this chapter, he points to many examples of real faith, and we see a depiction of faith. I'm going to focus primarily tonight on the description of faith in verses 1 through 3. But I do want to give you a good working definition of faith, real biblical faith, from verse number 6. This definition of faith is not original with me. I stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before and have helped me to gain a greater understanding of biblical faith. But in verse number 6, we see a definition of faith. What is faith? First of all, faith involves belief. If a person has faith, we must believe. If you're looking at verse 6, the second half, we must believe that God is. I believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder. That's the first part of faith, belief. And then secondly, true biblical faith not only involves belief, it involves obedience. Looking again at verse 6, we believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How do we diligently seek Him? By living in obedience to Him. So faith is belief, faith is obedience, and thirdly, faith is trust. I truly trust and rest in the reality that if I diligently seek Him, He is indeed a rewarder. So belief, obedience, trust. You've got to have all three to have real faith. And if you're missing any one of those three elements, you don't have real faith. So that's a definition of faith. But I want us to look tonight at this description of faith. Look at verse number 1. The writer says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. At first glance, it might look like, it might sound like, the writer is just repeating himself, saying the same thing two different ways. But actually, these two phrases are referring to two different aspects of faith. First, the writer says faith is the substance, or it's the assurance of things hoped for. And what the writer is saying here is that true faith is the confident assurance that what God has promised will truly come to pass. And it's as if it's already been accomplished. Now, every earthly illustration of heavenly truth falls short somewhere. But let me try to explain it this way. Let's just suppose that I told you that I own a large, sprawling mansion in Hawaii. And you say to me, well, have you seen the mansion? Have you been there? And I say, well, no, actually, I haven't seen it. In fact, I've not even been to Hawaii. And you say, well, then how do you know that you own a mansion there? And so I pull out an envelope and I take out the title to my property. And I spread it out on the table in front of us. And I show you that I indeed hold a title to a mansion in Hawaii. The title is in my name. And I tell you, I believe it's there because Joel Sickler gave me this title and he gave me this mansion. And I know Joel Sickler. And Joel Sickler has never lied to me. I trust him. Right? I can trust you, I think. I trust you. When he tells me something, I believe him. And so based on the character of the one who gave it to me, I wholeheartedly believe I own this mansion in the state of Hawaii. I have the deed right here. It's mine. And if I get on an airplane and I fly down to Hawaii and I go to see my mansion, it'll be just the way Pastor Joel described it would be. I have assurance of what I hope for when I get to Hawaii, and it's based on my trust in his character. And so it is with our faith in the reality of a future home in heaven. I have not been there. I have not yet seen it with my two eyes. But because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, I have been given the title to all the privileges of heaven and of eternity with God. And I trust and I believe that it's true, and that one day my eyes will see and my hands will touch what only my heart and mind and will believe today. Because the one who gave me the title is completely trustworthy. He's entirely trustworthy. He's proven himself so. And through his word, which cannot fail, he's given me exceeding great and precious promises. And it's as if I already possess it all. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. It's the assurance of future glory. Do you have that assurance tonight? Do you have that faith? And then there's the evidence of things not seen. This is faith, believing as fact what cannot be seen and touched and experienced by the physical senses. In verse number 3, the writer gives us an example of what he's talking about. He said that through faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He's talking about the creation of the world. Is there anybody here tonight who was present when God stepped out into the void and spoke this world into existence? If any of you have ever heard Ken Ham speak, you've heard him with that Australian accent ask, "Were you there?" Was anybody there? No, I wasn't there. But neither were the evolutionists there. Not a one of us was there when God stepped out into nothing and he spoke the world into existence. We didn't see him with our eyes divide the land from the sea and the light from the darkness. We didn't hear him when he spoke the word and living creatures began to roam the earth. We weren't there when he formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. We weren't there. But neither was the evolutionist there to see a giant explosion of gases in the sky, or to observe this world with all of its created order suddenly, mysteriously come into existence. And I think that whoever said it takes more faith to be an evolutionist than a creationist had it right. To say that this world came into being through an explosion or some random cosmic chance makes about as much sense as saying that I could take thousands of copies of the letters of the alphabet and pour them in a box and stir it up and throw it up in the air and let it land on paper and it come out a perfect copy of Webster's Dictionary. It ain't happening. Can't believe that. No amount of willpower could get me to believe that. But I could be convinced that an all-powerful, all-wise, sovereign God who has no limitations, who holds life and death in his hands, could step out into nothingness and with his orderly, creative self speak into existence a world that reflects who he is. I could be convinced that the same all-powerful, all-wise, sovereign God could stoop down and from the dust of the earth form a man and breathe life into him. Do you believe that God could do that? I believe it from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. But people in this world without true biblical faith say that's foolish. That's naive. That's outdated, irrelevant, archaic thinking. They believe that faith in God is foolish. They suggest that believing in God, trusting in him is unintelligent, unreasonable. Superior minds don't need that kind of a mental crutch. But you know, the fact of the matter is, if you're a functioning human being, you have to exercise faith in something every single day of the week. How many of you drove over a bridge or two to get to church tonight? How many of you know that sometimes bridges collapse? You had to have some confidence in that bridge. If you ever get on an elevator, you have to have some element of confidence that elevator is going to function properly. It's going to take you up and it's going to bring you down at the right rate of speed. Sometimes elevators malfunction. I heard about a cable that broke on an elevator, sent the passengers on a terrifying plunge of 84 stories before it stopped. There's something new for you to worry about. If you've ever flown, you've got to have faith in a pilot that you don't even know, that he knows what he's doing. If you ever have surgery, you have to have some element of confidence that your surgeon knows where to cut and how to cut. You know, the one word you don't want to hear in the surgery, in the operating room, is oops. So if belief in something in and of itself is foolish, then everybody in the world is foolish because everybody trusts in something, whether they realize it or not. You're trusting in something this evening. The question is, what are you trusting? Where is your faith? If I can have faith in a bridge, if I can have faith in the mechanics of an elevator, if I can put my faith in a pilot, in a surgeon, it doesn't seem like a huge leap of faith to me to be able to put my faith in a perfect, sovereign, all-powerful God.
What will you do with Jesus, he who redeemed your soul? What will you do with Jesus, he who can make you whole? Sovereign of all the ages, Savior of Calvary, what will you do with Jesus? He longs to set you free.
What will you do with Jesus? Conquering Lord of all, what will you do with Jesus? Come while you hear his call, follow his steps to Calvary, humbly before him
My My friend, if you have any questions about today's message or you'd like to talk to someone about your relationship with God and where you stand before Him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Please contact us by calling 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. If you need help with transportation to church, please contact us, and perhaps one of our church buses may be able to pick you up on a Sunday morning for Sunday school. Or, if you enjoy listening to stories for children, you can call 717-273-4561 or 4562 and hear a short story with a devotional message that applies to them. Now, we hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There, you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.
Forsaken, wondering why God wasn't all He said He'd be. When your back's against the wall, it's the hardest place of all. It's somewhere between provision and impossibility. Shelter of His heart, make a way for you to carry on.
God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I know.